Shout out to Jigsaw and Company. You know what it is. Bullpen over the bullshit. Bad news, nigga, the bully.
It's that new Jigsaw and Company.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy Jigsaw Blue back with another episode of Jigsaw and Company. Brought to you by Puzzle Me Entertainment. We are here with some of the Capefield Heroes football players. If y'all don't know, that's arena football. I haven't been myself, so I'm kind of interested to see, like, what's the vibe and the energy. Is it different from NFL game, high school game, or, you know, however it is. But I'm going to let the two individuals introduce themselves. Start with Francis.
Francis Newby. I'm the defensive end for the Capefield Heroes, number 98.
My name is Tyrion Finley, a.k.a. Smiley. Number one for the Heroes, and I play defensive back.
Okay, so how did y'all, well, football, I know that's y'all passion. Football is y'all passion.
Correct.
So where was your start at?
My start was basically, I was 18, and I was running down, catching the bus, and it was the last bus that was probably 80 yards away, and I still felt that I could catch it. And while I was chasing the bus, I ran it down and pretty much, you know, talked to the bus driver to let me in because it was late at night. You know, he was scared looking outside, seeing somebody chasing him. But an NFL coach happened to see me run. He was the first guy to play in the league from Germany. And when he saw me run, he said, you should play football with your speed. So all I knew was, you know, running back from watching movies. And first practice when I went there, I knew running back was part of the offense. So when they split the team, offense and defense, I walked over to the offense. And that same coach, I just felt two hands grabbing my shoulders, and he threw me down the defensive side and said I was a defensive player. So that's how I started with it.
Smiley?
That's a little different for me. I mean, I started at the age of 5. I mean, probably earlier than that. I mean, watching my brothers and, you know, people around me, you know, being involved in sports, you know, playing outside before even getting on the Pop Warner Little League team, whatever. And it just kind of took off there. I was originally a soccer and a baseball guy, but because I wanted to be like my brother, mm-hmm. I decided to, you know, get involved with football. And my brother coach had seen me run and play, and he had noticed my footwork and my change of direction, and I had told him I played soccer before this, and my nickname was Pele.
Yeah. Pele.
So soccer kind of helped you in football?
Yeah, a lot. Being able to run and control the ball. Mm-hmm. From what I've seen, I thought it was easy because I did it so often. Mm-hmm. But, you know, other guys who tried to do it, you know, it was kind of difficult.
Because I know when I was in high school, it was a guy, I can't remember his name, but he was a running back. And he did ballet. And they used to pick him, oh, you doing ballet, da da da, but all the reality to actually help him with his footwork.
Yeah,
so I can see that.
Graceful.
He must be real sweet then.
Like what's the guy name? In the NFL now started taking ballet. Oh, what is his name?
I know, what's the guy? What's this guy? The one that played for Houston. He came from Tennessee.
Arian Foster.
Oh, yeah, Foster. Yeah, poetry in motion.
Yeah, like he on skates.
Yeah.
On grass.
Like, and that's what I try to tell, like, some of the younger kids, like, don't shade, like I said, ballet or, like, even, like, I just learned that Kobe, right before, like, his Achilles injury,
tap dancing. I'm actually... In this book, reading this book, it's crazy.
I just finished it.
Man, the Mamba mentality. Yeah. Mamba
mentality.
Man, it's crazy, man. It's just collectively getting people around you who is as obsessive about their craft as you are creates a tremendous team.
So that's Kobe's that's my favorite player of all time.
Yeah.
So. Just to watch him and just break his just him details down, just how he crafted the game makes me want to help people, or it makes me want to break down my craft and how it's just amazing, man.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, Francis, yes. Where are you from?
I'm from Barbados, but I grew up in Amsterdam.
Okay.
Yeah, so both my parents, they're journalists, so we traveled around growing up, and I've been pretty much in every country, you know, went to schools in the country. That's the reason why I was able to pick up on so many languages. Like, I speak 7 languages fluent, and also writing. And,
You
know, we ended up in Amsterdam, went to school there, and like I said, that chance encounter with the coach seeing me run got me into football. I grew up playing soccer, too. And I was playing for the Dutch national team, and then it just led me here, you know, so everything was just a blessing to come up here. And I'm still learning the game, obviously, but like you said, man, soccer really helps. So as I was, like, developing and gaining more weight, I was still able to maintain speed. And, yeah, that's what other sports, you know, playing other sports does for you. So I would encourage everybody to, like, pick up on as many sports as you can, because you'll definitely benefit from it later on.
And you learn something from each sport.
Absolutely.
Something that you can take from it. Smiley, so did you play? You played in high school, obviously.
Yeah, I played, in high school.
You played college, too?
Yeah, I'm originally from Birmingham, Alabama.
Okay.
I didn't quite get to finish my high school because when I was younger, I missed a lot of school. So when I missed a lot of school, it kind of caused me to fail 2 grades. So, well, my mom hit me back in 1 grade, and then the next one I just completely failed because I was never at school trying to take care of stuff. I mean, my mom was exposed to life, so everything she was exposed to, we were as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had to go to military school, military prep school here in Greensboro.
Okay.
Actually, and I got the opportunity to, in the beginning, I was getting recruited by Auburn, but when they won this championship, the coach called me. It was a Tuesday at 2:08, and it was 1:03, and it was 98 degrees outside. And I had, in military school, you got to wear ACUs. So it was signing day, and the coach had called me in his office, and he told me that they said they don't want you. They said that they don't think that you are fast enough or big enough to guard as well as go against the guys in the SEC.
Wow.
I mean, you grow up in the South, and in the heart of the South, and the dirty South, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. I mean, you just dream of having that mentality of playing for the SEC or SEC school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that had gone on. I played the military school, and I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord. Because, I mean, before the military school, it was a, but as opportunity came, you can say opportunity or whatever. I'm just gonna let you guys decide on this right now.
Right.
When I got interest of going to Auburn, my head coach said that he really wanted me to play. I mean, I was going to a school that was out of zone from where I was originally zoned for. And he told me that, you know, here's an idea. We can go to the courthouse, we can change a birth certificate, and, you know, that allows you to be born in 1992 instead of 1991 to be able to play.
Mm-hmm.
So in my head, I was like, man, this is everything. I get a scholarship, I can do this. I sat down and I talked to my mama. I said, Mom, this is a, you know, opportunity for, you know, us to have this, like, you know, I go to college and I'll be able to get some money, then we'll be able to just get out of the situation. And my mama, I love my mama, that I thank God for giving me the mama that I got. Because my mama told me, she said, as bad as I want you to be able to follow your dreams, and as bad as it will help us, she said, God will bless you. She said, I'm not telling you what to do. It's your decision. But Tyrann, I don't think this is would be the right way to get blessed. So I sat down. I went back into the office and I told the coach, no, coach, I don't feel right about it. And opportunity they gave me to go to the military school. And my mama told me no, because she got scared. So, so I told her, I was like, Mom, you just told me. You just told me if an opportunity come to take it. Like, that's one thing that you regretted. Like, not being able to travel, not being able to see other things, not being able to go other places. And here it is, an opportunity for me to do something that I want. And she ended up letting me leave, which was one of the better things that happened, I figured, in my life, because it changed my life. I had only known growing up to make a bunch of money, pay everything in cash, you know? And that's how you get things. And right. Not knowing about credit, not knowing about just the things that had came so easy that I never knew about. I had, it's crazy. I had just told Francis outside that I had never, ever encountered white people before. In my life, I only seen them on TV. And I had only seen them in the magazine.
And you know what? That's not the first time I heard somebody say that.
Man.
Especially people from the South, or like people like in that Midwest area, like Chicago, St. Louis, they don't really encounter with them. They say, I never seen them, you know, never ran up against them.
Never. And it was that I was so, my perspective of life was only from what I had seen growing up and what I was told.
Right.
Because when you're a kid, your mom and dad is your biggest heroes.
Absolutely.
And your first love.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, me seeing that, I go to military school, and my cousin and myself end up living with, you know, these white people. Name is Bill West and Darcy West in Greensboro. Didn't know us from a can of paint, man. I mean, did not know us from a can of paint. And, you know, till I got here, I had never had my own room. I had never had my own, you know, anything. I only known to my brother to share things, and, you know, and I appreciate God for my mom, like I said, to instill those things inside of us,
values,
you know,
and
it's crazy. It's really crazy, man, to think that, but I get there and turn me away. I go outside at 8 degrees and I run sprints. I mean, with ACU on, my boots, all. Because at this point, I'm like, I don't know.
You frustrated.
Man, I'm distraught. I'm like, what? Like, you, what? Like, what? Are you serious? Like, I picked up everything and I just left. And man, I ran 12 sprints, 12 100s, actually, to be exact. 12 100s. And the coach came out there, and he was like, you know, it's going to be okay. He hit me on the shoulder. He went on about his way. And I'm thinking, like, I'm going to graduate from the military school. I only came here because I'm playing football. And I'm trying to make a way for my mama. I'm trying to make a way for my family. I don't even know what it is that I'm supposed to be doing, what I want, and where I'm going. And I sit there, and the coach, military school, program was terminated. Comes back a few months later. He said, you ever think about junior college? My mind, I didn't know what a junior college was. You know? He said, it's an opportunity for you to still get a Division I scholarship. You won't have to pay for school. You won't have to go back home. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm with it. Lord, boom. Clear my mind. I'm like, I'm with it, Lord. Like, you know, I book a one-way ticket, right? Mm-hmm. A one-way ticket to California. And I'm thinking, you from the South. You think California? I instantly started playing Tupac for a week straight. I mean, sunny California, palm trees. I'm thinking about the beach and the water. And I'm like, man, I'm finna go to Cali. I can't believe this. It never rains in Southern California. I'm thinking that. I'm like, yeah, we finna.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know about Northern California. I didn't even know if it's the Southern and Northern. I just thought of California. Man, we get on the plane, and me and my best friend named Desmond Harrison, he's offensive tackle for the Cleveland Browns right now.
Okay.
So we get out there. He's 6'8", and tremendous athlete. You know, we get on the plane. I have on some shorts, a tank top, my book bag, and some flip flops.
Oh, my man said you ready.
Man, he had on some flip flops, no socks, t-shirt, and some shorts. He has his book bag. So we like, man, yeah. So we on the plane, and the pilot came over the loudspeaker and said, yeah, now entering Oakland, California. San Francisco, California. And he said, the degrees is 60. And I was kind of like laid back for a minute. He was sitting to the right of me, and I was in the middle seat. And I was like, no, I look over to him. I said, no, I ain't just say that. He leans up, he looks at me, he was like, boy, looks out the window, and we see like clouds. So I'm thinking, like, okay, maybe it's just like little forecast and stuff like that. He reiterated it again. He said, yeah, now we're starting our descent. Like I said, it's 60 degrees in, you know, San Francisco, California. And I say him, I touch the window. I said, man, it's cold. I say, it's so cold. I said, bro, it's cold. I said, I thought we were supposed to be going to California. And he was like, bro, smiling, what we got into? We get off the plane. The tunnel to go into the terminal was so cold. Look, I'm about to lose my mind. It was so cold, man. I grabbed him. I said, bro, you got to give me your jacket. I ain't have on nothing. Get out there. And people looking at us strange. And I'm looking at them like, y'all didn't tell us about, you know, this will happen. Yeah. Man, we get outside. When I tell you, I got to my bag so fast to put on coats, it's like it didn't work. It's like the wind came under my clothes, and it felt like I ain't had nothing on. I'm like,
straight disrespecting Jack.
Man, when I tell you, disrespecting weather was, oh man, we get in the car, we go to, I remind you, I've never heard of junior college, right? Mm-hmm. Not knowing the living situations, I didn't know anything. I just knew an opportunity.
Yeah.
We get here. We are sitting on the steps when we first get to junior college. Oh my God. We end up going to a one bedroom apartment who had already had three people inside of it.
Oh man.
Oh my Lord. What?
Three people.
What? You get out there. Dez looked at me, he said, I'm about to go home. I said, you ain't.
My man said,
so you can't go home. I only bought a one-way ticket. And I don't know nobody else. Hey, I said, bro, you got to stay with me. Dez is upstairs. We end up staying, man. And it worked out for the better. It worked out for the better, man. Yeah.
Those are some of the things you got to go through in life,
bro. Yeah, man. Just learning opportunities. Back to this whole cold weather situation. So, like, have you never experienced that type of cold?
It doesn't get cold like that in Alabama. Okay. In the South, you know, yeah, a cold, humid. Like, you know, you can still wear this if you come from a place Midwest, up North, or, you know, East Coast, you know. You can still wear your tank tops and your shorts because you'll be like, oh, this is pleasant. Man, and to top it all off, God blessed me enough to be successful in junior college. I ended up getting a scholarship to one of the coldest places in the world.
Where's that?
Wyoming. Oh my God. I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, yeah, okay, Wyoming. No, I didn't even know we had a Wyoming. No, I didn't even know that Wyoming was a place. I called it Wyoming. When I first heard, I said Wyoming. They said Wyoming, I said Wyoming.
Oh,
they didn't tell me it snowed. I had never seen snow before.
Oh, really? Man.
I get to Wyoming, man, I miss a whole week of school.
They didn't know how to react.
I go outside, I say, oh, snap, y'all, it's snowing. Everybody else like, yeah.
Like,
That's what it does here. I'm like, no, bro, it's snowing, bro. Like, it was so much snow. I was happy. I didn't even know snow was wet. This is how just, I don't even know how lost I was of not knowing anything in the world.
Right.
Man, I get outside. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to go outside, man. I'm going to see what it's like. I step off the step. The snow comes to my knees. It came to my knees, bro.
Oh,
and it was cold. I instantly ran back upstairs. We had workouts at 5 a.m. in the morning time, right? I missed workouts. I missed school. Because I'm thinking, like, where I'm from, if it even is like a glimmer of...
A little bit of snow, like here.
Man, they say ice. Everything shuts down.
Okay, so you thought it was the same thing?
Man, the coach called. I got my report back. I got my progress. You know, the scheduling stuff. Man, the coach say, son, what's going on? I said, coach, it's snowing outside. Like, we don't talk to you.
We
said,
school.
We at school. He said, son, we don't stop because it's snowing outside. I said, the road's messed up, ain't it? Before I go out there, the road was clear as I can see your face. When I tell you, I had to wake up for 3 weeks straight at 5 o'clock and run in the snow.
Man,
because I just didn't know. I never was late for anything in my life again. I never assumed anything else in my life. I never
always prepared.
What?
That's what they call you here, right? Mr. Early.
They call me Mr. Early. Yeah, I wake up. Well, I'm so accustomed to waking up so early throughout my life because in the beginning, that was the only time I was able to see my mom.
Okay.
My mama had worked 2 or 3 jobs, you know, and I was only able to see her in the morning time and at night. So she get off work at night. I always scratch her back, and I always rub her feet. You know, I always walk on her back because I was the smallest. I found out, and it also helped me later because I also learned how to take a loose bra. Which is thing, like, you know, when you're dealing with women fumbling up the bras too much. But I got a lot of practice hitting my mama when I was scratching the back and I was young, stuff like that. And man, like, that's the time I only see my mom at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, just to see her, making sure she got to her car, even from cranking up her car, and she get out there to her car, she leave, and then we get our day started. And I was always accustomed to being kind of picked on by my brother because after that, I go watch cartoons and my drawers. I brush my teeth.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, man.
And my sister say, get ready for school. Clothes still on the ironing board. They ready to go out the door. So I'm late, running with my book bag big and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm so accustomed now to just being up so early, and I never knew that being able to wake up that early to see my mom would be so vital at this time of my life.
Absolutely.
Like, waking up is like, is everything.
Yes. Yes,
peace of mind.
Especially in the morning, man, because it ain't nothing more peaceful. That's why I do a lot of my writing, is when I first wake up in the morning, or like, ideas start flowing. So they give me time to, you know, type, write, whatever. But like you said, that morning time, there's nothing. Nothing be that peaceful more than time.
Nothing, man. Right. It's I don't know, man. But yeah, appreciate my mom. Appreciate, you know, things, because I was, man, closed minded. Like, just hearing you being able to say, learning 7 languages and speaking them fluent and being in different places and coming upon the opportunity. Something that, like, man, I had never even, I didn't even know about Amsterdam. I didn't know anything but Birmingham, Alabama, the west side of Birmingham, being in fact, the west and north side, because of, you know, where I kind of grew up. But I only seen things like this in a magazine, and I dreamt about things like this. And when you're young, your imagination is so big. And I was thinking, I'm gonna be a fireman, I'm gonna be a policeman, I'm gonna ride dirt bikes, I'm gonna be motocross, I'm gonna go surfing, and then as you got older and it started to leave, and I never understood, why can't I still have these things?
You definitely can.
And I can.
I feel like with our community, especially like some of the urban places, we don't not, I ain't gonna, the wrong word is expose, but like push our kids to have those dreams because of the type of environment we live in. I talk to my kids all the time. I ask them, what you want to do when you grow up? What, you know, do you have an idea of what you want to do? So I can help you and push you, or, you know, get you the tools to do that. My peoples didn't do that. Yeah. My peoples didn't teach me about credit. My peoples didn't teach me about balancing a checkbook. I don't even know if they still do that nowadays, but I want to, like, try to break the cycle. I want to be able to be like the white communities, the Asian communities, how they keep their kids in until they ready, until they help them get to where they want to be. And that's how I feel. Like, all my kids, they talented in some way, shape, or form, besides the two oldest. I don't know what they're doing. But my babies, they know, they have an idea of what they want to do, and that's what I'm doing. I'm helping them push them, and that's what I feel like us as the black culture, black community, that's what we need to start doing more. Right. Start pushing our kids to follow their dreams and help them follow their dreams. Yes, you know, sometimes you need financial backing, or, you know, you have financial problems, but there's ways around that. It's always a way around that.
Exactly.
And I feel like with y'all coming to Fayetteville, it's me talking to y'all, y'all can, like, met Francis at the Super Fitness Field Day with my son. He was in the 50 meter event. And just to see y'all out there, it might be a kid that wants to be in the NFL, but they, you know, sometimes the NFL, it don't work out. But you have that arena football, you have that Canadian League, right, and everything else that follows you. You still in that passion that you have. It might not be at the extreme level, but you still doing something that you love to do every day.
Absolutely, yeah. That's true. Absolutely. And he was just saying that, like, you know, we all love football, but it shouldn't be everything. You know, life is so much bigger.
Right.
And he was just explaining how football is more like a stepping stone to other things. So that's how you really should treat it too. Like, it's a way to, you know, open doors for you. Certain people go to certain schools and they would normally not be able to, or get admitted to that school. It's just because of their football skills, they're able to get admitted, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how it goes. Like, if that's anything we can, you know, preach to the kids, is just use that to get you, you know, get to where you want to be.
That's what I was listening to, my homeboy podcast, BJ the Best, Cab 229. He was on there with my homie Tim, and that's some same conversation, but different, you know, different career path. Okay. He was talking about, because my homeboy, he a rapper, and he was like, you know, he said, if you a rapper, you make $1 million, and you still just a rapper, you dumb.
Yeah, absolutely. Something wrong with that.
You have to have some type of other idea or some, like, side hustle.
Yeah.
You know, like my man said, he only rapping so he can get enough money to open up, to get a business, and he can start a franchise.
Right.
Yeah. So he can create avenues and create jobs for his peoples and be able to branch off.
Yeah.
I'm with it.
Man, look at Rick Ross. Like, he owns, like, one of the biggest houses over there in Georgia.
And some of the biggest, one of the biggest franchises. Yeah, is a Wingstop.
Yeah.
Like, man,
I didn't know Chris Brown owned, like, he owned like Burger King.
Chris Brown has tremendous wealth.
Yes.
Like, for him to
I
be
didn't
so
realize.
Young, man, he's a smart guy, man. Like, he, as well as, you know, Nipsey, rest in peace, you know. The thing about the hustle thing, like, Nipsey has the store called
Marathon,
right? Yeah. But he has the clothing brand called the Marathon Clothing, which branches off into the Marathon and continues.
Mm.
So there's three in one.
So he has, like, everything, like an umbrella, basically.
Everything umbrella, and it all ties back in.
And all money in.
All,
like, yeah,
and it goes back to all money in.
Yeah,
no money out.
Smart, man. And then you could do the app, you know, like we're coming into the store and we purchase something that has an app there, and only through getting something in the store would allow you to have access to whatever the app, you know, exactly. Get access to, whether it's like music videos.
Unreleased. That has never been seen before.
Yeah, so that's like you go through the, because like, I guess the, what you call that, the scanner.
Yeah, the barcode on your, on your back, on your, on your tag of your shirt. You put that on and you play it with the app, and it plays a video.
It's ingenious. Thing,
it's he has the first ever smart store.
So he would have probably had like the, how do you call that valley over in Tech Valley, over in Cali?
Yeah.
You know how San Fran, where they have Google and stuff. Right. So Nipsey would probably like within 5 years would have created something like that in Crenshaw or somewhere.
Right on Schlock. Right close to Schlock.
He probably done something like that if it wasn't for him.
I did not know that.
He owned, he had, Nipsey owned that whole, that whole strip.
Yeah.
He had, well, beginning to buy up the whole strip, but that, he had a, outlet, that whole outlet. He had bought up the whole outlet. He put a barbershop there. Plaza. He had a whole plaza. That was his. Yeah. All that was his.
Like little businesses. So basically creating opportunities for other people.
Because he had given 41,000 He had given 41,000 jobs within the 15 years. And that store had been there for 15 years. He had given 41 jobs. 41,000 jobs to people that's just around the community. Like, guys, this one guy, he had always see, he always say, neighborhood. So, neighborhood nip. Guy used to just be like a, well, what most people see as a drunk or a bum or whatever like that, give him a job. Oh, he keeps the parking lot spotless. The whole plaza, he keeps the parking lot spotless. He gets paid for it.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. Like, really.
Life is about opportunity.
Yeah, opportunity.
Creating opportunities for other people.
Giving back, yeah.
You're giving back. And so that's one thing that I appreciate about Nipsey is like, the information that he was able to gain, he put it in a way to where anybody can receive the knowledge. And he was able to articulate himself in a way that if you weren't from where he was and higher, you understand where he's coming from. You understand? Because that's life, bro. It's like having a hustle. You said something earlier about your friend saying having a hustle. You having a hustle. Having a main goal. Yeah, you may, people see him as this guy selling drugs and rapper and this, that, like that. But his ultimate goal was like, what is it called? Off of his slogan, the marathon. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not just made for football players. Mm-hmm. It's not just made for rappers. It's not just made for singers. It's made for everybody. Like, you have to run your race. Right. Literally. Mm-hmm. You have to. No one else can be a part of what your steps, because he and myself are on the same, doing the same thing, mm-hmm. playing football for the K-Fit Heroes. game May 19th, next Sunday.
At the
Crown Coliseum. Come out and check us out. he placed it saying like, yeah, you guys are in the same situation, but you're going to have different paths.
Mm-hmm.
As long as your dream, where you're trying to go, outweigh what you're going to be able to go through and withstand, you're going to make it. You may not make it in the time that you want to make it, but you're going to make it if you stick to the script.
Yeah,
you have to stick to the script, and everybody around you.
That's true.
It has to be sacrifices.
And patience.
Yeah,
Patience is the key. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I had to realize when it came to with just about anything in life. Patience helped me get through a lot, and also consistency. Consistency. I've been telling my rapper friends for a long time, if you stay consistent from 6 months to a year, your stuff can change. I had interviewed a guy, shouts to Playboy Poppy, said he started rapping 6 months ago. Now he's nominated. He's nominated for Best New Artist for the Carolina Music Awards.
Really?
Boy, you just gave me chills.
Trust me.
Golly.
Even the baby, like, you look at him.
Oh, yeah, the baby. Well, it's the baby with Jerry the baby.
Like, just being consistent, putting content out, and, like you said, believing in what, you know, makes, you know, taking the sacrifices and believing in your dream, you can take it somewhere.
Trust me, man. Like, I came all the way from Amsterdam to here. You know, like, it was crazy because when I was trying to come over just to college, because that was, like, my dream back then. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, like, how are you going to do it? You know, it can't be done. And you never played high school football and, you know, all that stuff. But I really just believed in myself, and I knew I had something. And then, like, out of nowhere, man, I had this chance encounter again. Like, I was invited to come over to Alabama. You know, played in this All-Star Bowl, you know, Florence, Alabama. Mm-hmm. First time coming over to the States. And they put me against guys that were basically already going to the NFL. And, you know, I came from Europe, so they kind of looked at me like, this guy don't know what he's doing. So I barely got any playing time. But the little time I was on the field, I had to do something. I had to make a play to stand out, and which I did. And, you know, at the end of the game, I, you know, personally felt like I didn't play much, so it was over for me. But that's when I heard, you know, Coach Saban and them, like, saw me, and they, you know, offered me a full scholarship. So the next day, they came to pick me up, and, you know, drove me to the campus, and that's where I got to meet, like, everybody from the defensive coordinator. And, you know, coming into the office, I saw, like, that he had a laptop with my, you know, little videos from Europe. And I'm thinking, like, you know, they really, like, watching my video. Like, it was amazing to me. And, you know, they sitting there saying, Francis, you know, we just want you to rush the passer. And gave me a DVD with all the great pass rushes from the NFL saying, this is your job. This is what we think you can do really well. And that was it. You know, they offered me a full scholarship on the spot, saying, like, when they met me in person, that just encouraged them more, you know, to, like, go on with
it. Know that they made a great decision.
Yeah, man. So I called my mom up and, you know, told her about it. And she was obviously very happy. But the coach, remember the coach that saw me run?
Yeah.
I called him up and told him, you know, his name is Peter Heyer. And I said, Coach Heyer, you know, I got a scholarship. And, you know, he wasn't surprised at all. That's the amazing thing about it. He said, they just don't know you yet. And, you know, everybody else was happy and congratulating me. But with him, it was more like
he already knew.
Yeah, he already knew from watching him. You know, because this guy was an offensive guard in the NFL. So he went against, you know, the great pass rushers. So he knew I had something that he felt like, you know, I could make it to that level. But what I mean to say with the story is just that you just believe in yourself, man, because the same people that would tell me I couldn't do it when I came back home, they were the same people to congratulate me. So you should always just, like, don't let anybody, you know, tell you what you can't do, but it's too late. I mean, you can always do it. Like, just stick to it, you know? So that's pretty much it.
And it's always going to be that one person when you feel like, You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, or you don't feel like you at that level yet. It's always gonna be that one person, like your coach.
Yeah,
he knew something was special in you.
Man, I'm just grateful for him. Like, that guy, literally, like, I can't call this man and tell him something to amaze him, because in his mind, he's like, they don't know yet. Like, I already knew that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh, so you really, like, just believed in me all the time. Like, he believed in me before I started believing in myself. Yeah. So I would always just call him, and the words he would say, I would just write down. And those were the same words I would read when I'm in the gym. You know, like, you saw the book I was carrying yesterday. Like, that was still the same book, like, they gave me at Bama. You know, I'm still using it. Every little information that's there is still helping me to this day. And the people that I've met there are still great contacts to this day, you know? So, like I said, man, like, I came here on a mission, obviously, so I'm still on that same mission. I don't drink, I don't smoke. Like, I literally devoted my life to this sport. And knowing that whatever it's gave me, like, coming here, just meeting great people like Tyran and, you know, like, meeting you at the event yesterday. So, yeah, football is great, man, but it's so much more, you know? And that's really what I want to do. I just want to explore that and take it to the next level, man. Yeah.
So how did, so with y'all experience of, you know, y'all get through college and whatnot, mm-hmm. how did y'all get to Cape Fear Heroes?
Okay, you wanna go first? Do you want me? Okay. To be honest, when I came over to the States, when I was done with college, I you know, went to, like, Exos. It's like this place where they prepare players for the draft. And when I was there, I finished there, I had some couple of workouts, and my whole thing was I never had film. So I needed to get film, and I went to a CFL workout, and that's where I met the head coach of the Cape Fear Heroes, Coach McKinney. So he saw me from there. This was 2 years ago, and he was always trying to get me to come over to his team. And I guess at that time, he was coaching for a different team until I happened to be around, and, you know, we kind of reconnected. and he brought me over here, which was 2 weeks ago. So I'm literally, I just got here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we played our first game. It was a home game, and you know, that's when they put me in the game, and you know, pretty much just wanted to see what I could do. And yeah,
he did good. Me around. He did appreciate amazing. It. Don't let him down, baby. He did amazing.
Appreciate like, you, man.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, appreciate you, man.
I ain't never seen no big man get skinny. I mean, turn his shit. He was this way. He's wide. He got skinny like this and turned back like that. I have never seen that.
Appreciate you, man.
I ain't in
appreciate
person. I never seen that. To get off the ball so quick and turn his shoulders and get back like this and then cause havoc to get this. Oh,
appreciate
yeah.
You, man.
Go ahead, bro.
Man, appreciate
KP Heroes, May 19th.
That's it. That's it. So, yeah, man, we're just doing what we can to stick on the team. Like I said, you know, we just met, but we connected right away. So we were just talking about energy and how, you know, that I go off energy. He yes. goes off energy.
Me too.
You know, so you know how it is. Like he was explaining how somebody, you can meet someone and you just don't feel right about them.
Right.
You should go with that feeling, you know.
Yeah, because yeah, so, if you yeah, go against yeah, it, it's going to yeah. be bad.
You tell the people how you got here, man.
Man, a high school friend. Oh, no, actually, a middle school friend, actually. It was actually a dude I had gotten a fight with.
Oh, man.
So, man, he was working with my mama. And, you know, my mama had called me and she said, Josh wants you to call him. And I was like, Josh? It's like, Josh, who? It's like, I don't know Josh. I only knew one Josh. It was my best friend. He's short. Mm. He said, Big Josh. I said, Josh, Clancy? She said, Smith. I was like, I don't know no Josh Smith, mama. What are you talking about? So, you know, called me. I was like, oh, Josh Clancy, whatever. I reconnected. I thought he was playing for this team. And same with him. Just wanting to film. My last year of college, I didn't play. I was suspended indefinitely for my last season. They had a culture change. And I didn't know the process of when coaches come in, they you know, clean house.
Oh, wow.
You know, he set us down and he told us, like, if you're not my guy, you're not going to play. And in my head, like, I'm thinking, like, hey, man, if you know what you're doing, you can help the team. He wasn't lying. I ain't playing. I ain't played.
Like that's sick.
I ain't played, like, man. And for me being frustrated and not being in that position before of, you know, handling something like that, I don't know. It affected me because I was coming off of a bucket handle tear in my meniscus, my right knee.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, it's when your meniscus, right in between, like it's like the cushion between your bones, your patella tendon, and your leg bone. Is that
so, and tibialis, fibula?
Yeah, tibia and fibula. It's like right here, okay. Right in between here. So that's it separated and it flipped. It flipped over. Like it didn't tear my ACL, my PCL, my LCL. None of that even tore. It literally separated and it flipped over and it was just like stuck like this. So you know how that feeling in your finger, like you want to pop?
Yeah.
It's like I want to pop it. But it went, I couldn't stretch my leg out. And I had came from junior college, one starting position, and we first game was against Nebraska. Like it was 108,000 in the stands. Biggest crowd I ever played in my life. And all you see is a sea of red. Like, it was crazy. And time left. Guy had went under me. Play went away from me. I chased it down. This receiver, 6'2", went under me.
He's coming out here.
Hurt my leg. I seen him late. I was running. I seen him late. And I seen him. I tried to, like, move out of the way. Took my leg out. And that was it. I was out for the whole season. First game.
That's nasty, man. I didn't
know to
do that.
So, that happened, and long story short, land me here. I had always asked God for opportunity. And what I had said to you earlier about, you know, opportunity, my mama had told me, never despise, you know, small beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, it took a while for me for that to resonate with me. Like, it took a while. Mm-hmm. It took a while because I was so fixated on doing stuff in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that life is 80% mental and 20% physical. Like, I was so fixated on trying to apply that 20 to that 80. Stuff that I couldn't control. Like, it was an obsession. Like, mm-hmm. I want it now. I gotta have it now. This is my way. It has to be this way because any other opportunity you created it, you know, it was unrealistic. But, man, and took a long time, bro. It took a long time, Alice. Man, but, you know, it took me to the place of saying, never letting your dreams be as small as your beginnings, you know, but appreciate the opportunity of everything you get, because at that point, it's something vital for you when you're walking into your blessing.
That's it, yeah.
You know, I was listening to T.D. Jakes, and he was saying about something that I actually had talked to my brother once before about tests being redone over if you don't get it the first time. And listening to T.D. Jakes, he had sent me something with T.D. Jakes. I lied. I'm sorry, Lord. It was a player. One of my teammates had sent me something with T.D. Jakes. He said, hey, bro, this reminds me of you when we talk. And I'm like, bro, like, what you mean? Listen to it, and it was about continuously failing tests that is given to you. So you have an opportunity, you may be helping someone. God may tell you, hey, talk to this person. They need your advice. They need your encouragement. They need something that's inside of you of what you've gone through to help them make it through what they're going through. And when you continuously ignore that, God's going to continuously put you through it. So it may be a day, a year, a month, 5 years, but you're going to keep going. And it's more times dealing with self. When we go through situations, at the time, it's for us. Sure enough, because we are the one going through it.
Right.
But when you go through it and you make it through it, it's really for someone else that you're going to meet along your journey, along the process. The situations you may be in or you may be coming out of, like, that person is going to need that inside of you. So you have to be able to share that unbiasedly. Meaning, if you're comfortable and understand self, you won't give poison to someone else.
Mm.
If something has put a sour or bitter taste in your mouth, you won't say, man, you shouldn't do that. Oh, man, that ain't for you, man. Look, bro, don't even worry about going over there to them because they some hoopla John, whatever like that, when that's not the case. You haven't quite mastered self. Mm. Francis and myself was talking about a book that
Robert E. Green.
Robert E. Green.
Like to read, it's called The Art of Mastery. So he has a few of those, you know, real quick, Art of Mastery, Art of Seduction, and 48 Powers of Law.
I read that.
So that's the one that you mentioned.
Yeah, and it was mastery of self, and that's why I said it took a long time for me to stop applying that 20 to that 80 and start applying the 80 to that 20, because 80% of things in life are unforeseen events that we cannot control.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but the one thing we can control is our attitude.
And how we react.
That's it.
It's a saying. Martin Luther King said, character isn't defined when things are going well.
Yeah.
It's when a man is put in a situation that is like dire and you're back against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to react? That's going to define who you are. And it puts you in a space of you're going to act this way and it's going to allow somebody else to define who you are,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to take it this way and you define who you are.
Yeah.
Mm.
And once you define who you are, everything on the outside is null and void.
True.
Because I control
what happens to me.
What happens to me. And it starts with the mental.
That's it.
Respecting. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to disrespect you or another man because I first respect myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just like being able to love. You have to first love something that you cannot see, which is God.
Right.
He's a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you love something that you can't see and you're comfortable with something you can't see and knowing that, you know, it's like air, you can't see it, but it's here. Like, anything else you encounter is going to be a bonus because you started with nothing. You can't see God. So you started with nothing. He's there, but you can't. You can't physically touch this man.
Right.
Well, spirit, we are him. He is us. But you can't physically touch something. Mm-hmm. You're falling in love with something which you cannot see, which makes it easier for you to fall in love with something
that's there.
True. But I got off the subject a little bit. I apologize. But that's kind of a journey how I got here.
So for somebody that's never been to an arena football game, what would be the vibe or the energy, the experience for them?
Yeah, it's entertainment, because it was the first time for me too, that home game. And what I noticed was they had all kind of cars riding up the field, you know, motorcycles, the cheerleaders on the motorcycle.
Yeah, when you
coming up, you know,
you first
soldiers,
come out.
Yeah, like military.
Yeah, man.
On the field, and it's really like entertainment. That's first and foremost, and then. We have these little breaks during the game where they have activities for the children, right? Where they throw
balls,
t-shirts, balls,
yeah.
All kind of accessories.
Footballs,
footballs, all kind of accessories. So it's entertainment, man. That's first and foremost, and then it's the hard hits. The walls are basically
the wall is a padded. Is a we act as a hockey rink that you put what is it like a you know the board that's under the boxing ring?
Yeah.
You know how hard that board is?
Yeah.
It's like that. You put over the ice and you put the turf down. Mm-hmm. And like he was just stating, like the ring the that's around, right? The wall, that wall is undefeated.
Yeah, it's punishing. So
but it's exciting, bro. It's crazy. It has a thin pad, but running full speed and forget it's there, oh, Lord.
And players will sacrifice their body to catch a ball, even if that means running into that wall.
That's what makes it very exciting. Yeah. Makes it different because small area,
50 yards.
Your original field is 100 yards.
Yeah, 100 yards. So they shorten it to 50 yards.
The length.
Yeah. So
and the width is
about 25, 50, probably something like that. Within that range.
It's really just like Gladiator.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Gladiator, man. It's like.
Fast-paced.
Lord.
Yeah, it's fun, man. It's a fast pace. It's more of a passing league because of the short yardage.
Yeah.
Not really much running. And if there is, it's usually the heavier, bulkier guys. So, because they don't have to do that much of running.
Like
so,
me.
Yeah. man, it's exciting. That's really like the theme of it. Excitement and fast paced and
high scoring.
It's
very. It's looked at as very commendable when defenses only hold an offense to 27 points.
Right. Wow. That'll be a good defensive stop.
But before he came, we scored 93 or 98 points. No, 95 points. Mm. We scored 95 points. Wow. It's crazy. And we held him to 6 points. Wow. So, man, it's like... It's good. It's exciting. It's different, but it allows you to be more detailed.
Right.
I would say very detailed
technique and
technically sound, other than
just a raw brute
strength. Yeah. Because I mean, it's less than 3 seconds. I mean, Drew Brees. I don't know if he gets it off and.
He probably gets like
two, three seconds.
Yeah, 2 seconds.
He gets the ball off. Like, it's gone. Here is like those 3 seconds.
1 second, 2 seconds. Yeah.
You hit.
And that's it. And it's designed for the offensive players, right? So as a defensive player, you will be more challenged getting to the quarterback or, you know, getting to like covering wide receivers or whatnot. But, I mean, it just makes you that much of a player.
And they got this thing called high motion. Three receivers set up. You'll have two stationary, and you'll have one receiver start from the back there, and the quarterback will wave his hands.
Yeah,
and by the time he gets here, he at full speed,
yeah.
running at your face.
This all happens pre-snap.
So
you can do all that, and that's legal. I mean, imagine
wow. you. He can do all of this.
As a quarterback in the back, and somebody's coming at you full speed. But that's the name of the game. So
that's it. Yeah. He could come front all back here and run full speed and run out. Mm-hmm. Run a post. The most famous route to run is a post. Is a post or a cone. Oh, I had to put the OCD. I had to put the bottom back.
But yeah, come watch the game. Like you know, we would love to have you there.
Yeah, man.
When you come, we'll make sure to get you the tickets, get you all taken
care
of.
Yeah, you don't have to worry.
Take your children with you as far as
kids, like, is great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great to have the kids there to see something different, man.
As many people as you want, and it's going to be our last one of the
season. Our last home game.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that worked out perfect because my birthday is Friday. So,
look at God.
It's going to be your birthday gift.
Man, look at God. Won't he do it?
Yeah, that most definitely might be the move.
Just give us your name. It's on a Sunday. I don't know about the kids going to school and stuff like that, but
take them, they get out of school like that. They get out of school that following week.
Oh, okay, yeah, man, okay. It'll be good, man. Mm-hmm. It'll be exciting, man.
It's a nice stadium, you know, right?
Like, yeah, it's
nice,
it is.
Yeah.
So,
have fun.
Well, I got one more question before I wrap up. Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask my guest, if you had a book, mm-hmm. what would be the title of your book?
Wow. Smiley, you go ahead.
Nah, it's you. It's you. I'm
man.
I'm
oh, yeah, you tell me.
What's it?
Oh, yeah?
Shout outs to my son, Aiden.
Shout out, young Aiden.
Wow, you said what would be the name of that book? Let me see. Good question. Man, I think Courage.
Courage?
Yeah. Like Courage that. Would definitely have to be my book. Yeah, Courage. And everything that, yeah, courage has to be
one. Mine would be create the finish.
Create the finish.
Say it again?
Create the finish.
I like that.
Create the finish, because it allows you to.
I would like to read that book.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You give me a
and
copy,
and at the end of the book, mm-hmm. I would say, what do I know? I'm just a guy from Alabama.
Mm-hmm. True. I like that, man. Create the fit. You gotta definitely put that into work.
Yeah.
Create that.
It's also my company that Lord gonna bless me with. Create the Finish is something that I came up with. TF Tyrion Finley. Represent my name, but it's basically promoting to be prolific through life. Knowing when you're prolific, you can always be in a position to create something new,
mm-hmm.
to be born. So the journey that I'm on, me and friends is in a bunch of guys like you who are has tremendous integrity, gonna be a part of the book and the journey as well as the company. I don't want it to be focal point with football. I want it to be focal point of what we're doing now.
Okay.
Telling the story, mm-hmm. going through adverse situations to, you know that you have the power to create any and everything that you want. You just have to stay the course.
Mm-hmm.
You have to run your race. You have to be your own person.
That was beautiful.
Yeah,
can't close it
on
any better than that.
Cape Fear Heroes. So, Cape Fear Heroes got their last home game May 19th at the Crown. When you listen to this, y'all need to go in and get y'all tickets. And support. Can't stress that enough. Absolutely. Support these fellas, man.
We're looking out for number one, number 98.
Number 98. We look at 98. He's big, but he can get small. Fast.
You know? So do y'all have any social medias that the people can reach y'all at?
Absolutely, yeah. I have a page on Facebook. It's called Francis Nuvi American Dream. It basically, you know, captures everything from me coming over here to the States. And Instagram, I'm Innovative. So it's INNOUVIATIVE, Innovative.
Hey. For me, it's Smiley Era. That's on Instagram. Smiley _ ERA. I don't really use Facebook that much other than family purposes, but I'm going to start using it. It's Tyrion Finley. That's TYRANFINLEY.
And as y'all know, I'm on Instagram, JigsawBlue26. That's JigsawBlue26.
the color blue 2-6. And Aiden, he's really trying me right now, peoples. He's really trying me. But now, if you want to, email me at jigsawblue@gmail.com. You know, the Jigsaw Company podcast on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We drop every Wednesday. Be on the lookout for it. If you haven't, download the Anchor app so you can get it early. But please, if you can, come out and support these fellas, man. K-Fear Heroes, Crown Coliseum, May 19th. 7 p.m. Come enjoy the action, the smacking of the boy. See Francis turn small to get big again. I appreciate y'all for doing this, man. Like, I really do.
Thank you, man.
Yeah. This Jigsaw Company, we out, man.
Yes, sir.
Yo, what's good? This your boy Jigsaw Blue, host of Jigsaw & Company. But this is not about me. This is me showing love to my peoples. Shout outs to Marley at THSH Radio. It's on all streaming platforms. They have podcasts. Y'all need to go support him. Subscribe to his podcast. And shout outs to BJ The Best, Cab229. He's out there working, working, working. Y'all need to get out there, support his podcast, subscribe to his, do this for the love. If you ain't support your friends, I don't know what you're doing. Yo, please subscribe to these podcasts. Cab229 with BJ The Best, THSH Radio with my homie Marley on all streaming platforms, Google Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, Apple Podcasts. And if you haven't, you should download the Anchor app so you can get that exclusive real quick. And also, Jigsaw and Company is all on streaming platforms as well. So subscribe, support, and let's get it in.